Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
The Women's Football Show.
With Leanne Sanderson.
Absolutely first class.
On TalkSport 2.
Hello, this is TalkSport's Women's Football Show podcast. I'll be here every week bringing the best of our show. Don't forget you can listen back to the full Women's Football Show via the TalkSport app. This week we're on Monday at 7pm. So swipe for TalkSport 2, find Monday and you can listen full there. This week I was joined by former NWSL midfielder, founder of the ACL club and current NWSL commentator, Jordan Angeli. We caught up on what she's been doing since she retired from professional football. Angeli, Jordan, how are you?
I'm good, Leanne. You kind of have the best job ever, right? You get to talk to all these amazing people in women's soccer or football. I am American, so I apologize for the soccer reference. But yeah, you get to talk to so many cool people. So I'm really excited to be here and be maybe one of those.
Yeah, you are one of those. You are for sure. And I think I need to tell everyone a little bit of background. Obviously, you and I have known each other for years, played against each other in the NWSL, but I was literally about to go for a run earlier. And I didn't even know you were here today. Obviously, we're doing games together in Fort Lauderdale at the studio. I was like, Jordan, I need you on my show. And you were like, yes, when? And we just put it together, literally, and now you are here.
Yes.
So I want to talk about you and your journey. Obviously, you played within the NWSL for a number of years. We played against each other when you played for the Boston Breakers and I was playing for the Philadelphia Independents. Talk a little bit about your journey as a player and do you have any regrets in your career that you look back on and what is the most fond memories you have of playing
a
beautiful game we love?
That's a loaded question. I would say I don't have any regrets as a player. Like that's not something that I feel like I feel like I was so blessed to be able to live out my life as a professional soccer player. Like I dreamed of doing this when I was a young girl, as you probably did. And the fact that I was one of very few that got to do it was incredible. This weekend, actually, we set a record in NWSL. The 400th new player scored a goal in NWSL. And it's pretty cool. Only 400 people have done that. And I am one of those people. And so I feel like I have such pride in that. I don't have regrets, but my career was not like a lot of people's career. It wasn't long. It wasn't everything that I think it could have been. I dealt with 3 ACL injuries in 5 years on the same knee. And that cut my career a lot shorter than I hoped it to. I was not a fancy player, but I was an effective player. And I think some of the best memories I have were actually in WPS when we played that league. That league was incredible.
I'm going to have to pull up this photo because I think you're downplaying yourself. You were so hard to play against. And I remember our battles, you know, I'm the 10 with the defensive midfielder. And there's one picture of you just kind of looking over me. And I'll definitely be sharing that when it goes out on the show. I want to touch upon you being the founder of the ACL club a little bit later. But talk about your journey, you know, now you're transitioning to broadcasting because I have a lot of my former teammates and friends on that have kind of made that transition. And how have you found that since retiring in 2016? You retired, right?
In 15. I retired right after the World Cup in 15. I stepped away from the game, which was really cool because after all my injuries, I got to step away from the game as a healthy person, which was really important for me. My journey into broadcast was probably very different than a lot of people's. It happened I started in 2012. So it was the year after I tore my ACL for the third time. And I just thought, man, this is not going to last forever. I won't have a career on the field for a long time. But I knew a lot about the game and I felt like I could convey that with the way I spoke. And so I started dabbling in with MLS, with the Colorado Rapids. And then I actually really started, Leanne, in high school soccer.
Wow.
I called a high school soccer game for the first time in the spring of 2012.
Wait, rewind, because how do you even do prep on a high school
game? I didn't, I really
Does
didn't.
Does that make sense?
I didn't do prep. I really didn't.
You can't, can you?
You can't, yeah. We didn't even talk to coaches. We didn't do anything. But at that time, there was... no professional women's league. It was the league. There was a gap here in the United States. So there was no pro league. It was the spring. So college sports weren't happening until the fall. And so the only really, I just called a local station who did high school soccer games. I said, hey, I'm interested in doing this. Can I have an opportunity to call a game? And they kindly gave me a few opportunities. And I remember after the first game, calling my dad and being like, I figured out what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Because it just felt right. It felt as close to playing as anything I had ever done. And I knew playing was a fleeting thing. So I just like hustled, Leanne. I hustled for years. For the next 2 years, I called every coach I knew in the Colorado area where I'm from, college coaches, and said, can I do your local, your online feeds? Like now that everything's on ESPN, but back then it was like you went on this weird website and figured out a way. Some of them I didn't even get paid for. And then once my, that's how I started. And I then played again for 2 years in NWSL and did some college games in the fall after season was done. But it was nice. I had already like started that process before I stopped playing, professionally. And then, yeah, I just kind of worked my way up. I called games. I've been calling games in NWSL since 2017 when they started covering on like a app on your phone that is no longer existing. Go
even in high school, we played on high school fields, and now you know, being we'll talk about NWSL games from this weekend later, but like playing on high school fields in this league and seeing how, because everybody in England, they want to come to America. They're like, it's the best league in the world because the Americans are the best at kind of branding. Every game is like the Super Bowl,
right?
And I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But something you just touched upon that really resonated with me, that you retired when you felt like you were healthy, because I know a lot of my former teammates, you know, talk about the psychological part and the mental side of kind of when you, some people feel like they've lost their kind of identity when you retire, you know, but you were healthy when you did that. And how important was that?
It was really important to me. Gosh, I remember talking to one of my best friends right after I was like, right when I was deciding if I was going to retire or not. And she said something that would, has stuck with me to this day. And she said, just because you're sad doesn't mean it's the wrong decision. And I think about that a lot because I was so sad to leave the game. So sad. I was sad that my career got cut short. I still am sad about that. And at that moment, though, I was like, my sadness doesn't override the fact that this is the right decision. And so I could walk away as a healthy person, dealing with, again, another difficult season of life, but also there were so many possibilities. And I think that that is a really fun thing for players. Like, we're so honed in on our sport for so long that when we're done, you honestly, it feels like your brain like unlocks.
No validation anymore. No, but there's sometimes there's that moment of like,
yeah,
I feel like you've lost your validation. But actually when I got injured, that was a moment in my life that I felt like actually that's not normal what I was doing, you know, missing weddings, birthdays, even funerals when you're playing. And then like you retire and then you think, actually, what is my purpose, you know, in life? And I think, you know, it's an interesting in transition to navigate. But two players I wanted to talk to you about
on
the Boston Breakers. Kelly Smith, Alex Scott, you know, people in England.
Yeah.
Kelly Smith's best player I've ever played with. Talk about, you know, your journey playing with those players and what it was like to have them as teammates.
Yeah, I was really lucky to have both of them as teammates. But
they were lucky to have you.
Yeah, well, thanks. specifically Kelly, because she did deal with a lot of injuries. And as a young player coming into the league, I really leaned on her to, like, watch how she navigated trainings and listening to her body and all of that stuff. But man, was she ridiculous. Like, I just remember in games thinking, if I can just get the ball to Kelly, we're going to be fine. And she would have, Leanne, you know this better than anyone, players around her, 3-4 players. And she'd just be like, it was a walk in the park and figure out a way to maneuver out of them. So I will always be like, when I tell people who I played with in WPS, she is the number one person I say. And, you know, Alex was so fun to play with as well. She was like such a light and fun person. Always set the vibes in the locker room.
DJ music.
They were just, they really were wonderful. And like, I know that they are treasures in England. And really people that I can't believe I got to share a field with them.
Yeah, Kelly's by far the best player I've ever played with. Now,
easy.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of people say
Chaney
that
was
well.
On my team. Lauren Holiday, yeah. Lauren Chaney was on my team too. So they were very different players, but I would say one and two right there, like my favorite players I've played with.
Yeah, I agree with you. She was unbelievable to play against, Holiday, formerly of Chaney. So ACL, you know, obviously you founded the ACL club, and I just want to thank you because you helped me so much when I had that injury, the ACL meniscus. Mm-hmm. Although we've never been teammates, we're friends, but we were never like close friends. And I really appreciate you reaching out to me the moment I did it, because I really struggled mentally, you know, with accepting I'd done this injury. I was like, no, it's just my calf, because it felt like someone had kicked me in the back of my leg.
Yeah.
But your like advice really helped. So big topic of conversation in world soccer now, you know, and even in the world, even in the men's game, you know, people are like, why does this keep happening? So tell me why you started this, the ACL club, and why do you think this is, because it's been around for years, but obviously why do you think there's more now? We're not doctors, but I want your opinion as to why you think this is happening. Mm-hmm.
I started because of what you just said, Leanne. I felt like people were going through this process and just needed someone to understand what they were going through and someone to say, like, it doesn't all make sense right now, but you can do this and we've got your back and we'll help you through the process. And some people, that's a lot more help than others. And some people just need that like acknowledgement that there are people who know what they're going through and there's a club that says, we've got your back. So that's really the main reason I started it. And for the reasons, there's a lot. I wish I could say one particular thing. And if it was, we would have it solved.
Yeah.
I think it's the schedule. I think that we're women and we're not men and we can't train and we can't play and we can't demand so much out of our bodies, which is an okay thing. Like it is okay to treat our bodies the way that they need to be treated. I think nutrition is huge. I think sleep is huge. I think what we put in our bodies, like that nutrition, but also like, I know that I've read a lot on birth control pills and what's in those. I think that we've introduced this new vaccine into our world. And I think that we need to look at these things that we're putting in our body and say, okay, could this change the outcome of what we're doing? Some of the things we're not gonna take away, but we can change what we're doing now. So I wish I had an answer. Our hips are different. Many things. So I just think we have to look at a bigger picture and we need to come together and create some kind of true, like, I don't know, group that
everybody together, because we're all trying to figure it out the same way. There's research. We had the founders of Well HQ on my show a couple of weeks ago talking about the menstrual cycle and all those things. But I just want to personally thank you, and I want all my listeners that, you know, are interested in this to check out the ACL club on Instagram, because you do so much for the players. So the NWSL season kicked off this weekend with a huge round of games, and Jordan and I looked back on the results. We have to start with, you know, the game that I called was Kansas City Current versus the Portland Thorns. I mean, we almost did a whole show on this particular game. And I said to you when I saw you, you know, I've been blessed to have worked in this industry for 5 years now. I've done men's World Cups, women's World Cups, but it was the first time that I've done a women's game that I just felt that fulfillment of, like, I felt like I was playing. I couldn't eat before the game. I was super pumped and super hyped, like I was actually going to be playing. And it was on news. Every single place you put the news on in Kansas City, it was at the airport, it was on the tram train, it was everywhere. Like, what did you see from watching that game? You know, because obviously you wasn't there, but you're watching it. You must be thinking you were playing on high school fields, the same as, like, you know, the former Kansas City team were playing on. And now look at where this game is at.
I was so proud. I was proud that this happened in the United States, that I think for a long time, the U.S. on the women's side has set the standard. And I think that is changing in the world and has changed in the world as to, like, the quality of football that is all over in the women's game. But to do something like this, to have it totally engulf the city, as you mentioned, that's incredible. That doesn't happen in really soccer at all in the United States, let alone a women's team. So I think if you would have said those same things and said, oh, it was the Kansas City Chiefs and that was the stuff that was all over, I'd be like, oh yeah, of course. But the cool thing was, is it wasn't just like families that were going to this game, right? There were all different people from all different walks of life that were in that stadium. What, 11,500? It was loud.
Talking of NFL though, like Brittany Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
The Longs were there, like real ownership, like seeing Patrick Mahomes there, like doing the chant, the KC baby chant. Like, he walked past me and I like got to kind of say hi to him. And I never really get starstruck, but he's kind of very unassuming.
Yeah.
Not like Travis Kelce. I feel like Travis Kelce's kind of there. And do you know, and I like Travis Kelce, but when I saw Patrick Mahomes and he was doing it, I just thought, this is amazing that they actually care. Mm-hmm. It's not just about kind of, because he didn't need to go.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like the game was happening either way, but to see that kind of backing from arguably one of the best quarterbacks ever,
yeah,
you know, Super Bowl champion, and yeah, his wife, who was actually the main reason behind it, first and foremost, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I think just that the game was what it was too. Like, you speak to it because you were there. I wasn't there. I could feel it. I could feel the energy through the screen. But, you know, I was thousands of miles away in Florida when this was happening in Kansas City. I just can't imagine from your point of view what it was like to be there and hear the roar of the crowd when Vanessa DiBernardo scored the first goal ever in that stadium. Yeah, it was wild.
It was absolutely incredible. Like I said, I've done so many games, and I caught up with Jen Hildreth, my co-coms, after the game, and we touched upon it, and here she is now.
So we're here at CPKC Stadium, me and Jen Hildreth, lead commentator on ESPN. Jen, we got 9 goals, 5-4. Talk to me about this game.
Well, welcome back, NWSL, right? I mean, this was wild and crazy, even by NWSL standards, and I feel like Kansas City got exactly what they needed in the form of entertaining this crowd, conceding a few more than they'll like, right? Both teams will feel that way down the season. But it wound up being a competitive game. We saw a lot of goals and a wonderful atmosphere here at the stadium.
Yeah, we obviously spoke a lot about the stadium, women specific, you know, the first one in the world. How did you feel coming into a game like this today? Because you've worked in this industry for a number of years, you know, lead commentator on ESPN, you do basketball as well, but your main sport is soccer, football as we call it in England. Like, talk to me about how you were feeling before the game.
Yeah, goosebumps. You know, it was to think back, and I know you've played in some of these smaller fields in the NWSL back in the day, but I've covered this league. I covered the WPS. I called matches in the WUSA even. And to see where it's come and to see that it's growing and to see that this Kansas City organization, the owners bought this stadium. They own the stadium. It was built specifically for this club. That's what makes it unique. And that is a standard that we're hoping we'll see around the rest of the world.
Oh, thanks, Jen. I can't wait to do more games with you this year. If they're like this, we're in for an amazing ride.
Yeah, it's been fun. Let's go.
Let's go.
So we heard there from Jen, you know, about the atmosphere within this game. And honestly, Jordan, it was electric. And if there's anything we have to go by for this league this season, it's going to be absolutely wild. Now, my next game is a game that you called.
Mm-hmm.
Racing Louisville versus the Orlando Pride. Orlando Pride went down to 10 players, 2-0 down after like 20 minutes. Louisville were 2-0 up. Talk to me about that game and, you know, how it went down.
It was interesting. I think as you have seen across different leagues, like the first couple of games of the season are really like, the teams are still working through some kinks. And I think if you're Orlando, you're really happy. Last year, Liam, they lost 4-0 in their first game and they were whooped. Like, it was not even a competition on the field. And it started off looking like, oh no, Orlando's doing the same thing.
You know, I think the first two games last year, some of the Orlando Pride fans were saying to me I was being too critical of the back line. And then those fans actually said to me, you were right. Because
yeah,
I just critique what I see.
Yeah.
And I think the back line, that the offense is always going to be incredible, aren't they?
Yeah.
The players that they have. But I think, you know, their back line was letting them down, mm-hmm, goalkeeper mistakes. Is that something you felt like you saw within that game as well?
Yeah, well, it was two transition moments. Louisville did a brilliant job of utilizing the weak side, which their new head coach, Bev Yanez, who is a former NWSL player, said she really hones in on the weak side and what's happening on the weak side. And it is no coincidence that they scored 2 goals from utilizing the weak side in transition moments. So it was exactly cool to see, like, hey, this is their plan. They executed it. But Orlando, I'm interested in them this season. And I am going to say, one, to fight back a player down, to score a goal in by two substitutes in the last few minutes of the game, incredible by them. Really, truly incredible. They set, after they went down a player, they set the tone.
Yeah, I like Seb Hines. I think he's a nice guy. And obviously he's from England, so I'm going to be
biased
as well. But two people, you know, Bev Yanez and Carmelina Moscato, coaching staff now, head coach and assistant. Like, we played against these players. Carm's been one of my teammates. Mm-hmm. You know, having those types of people and GMs like Yael Averbuch-West and Cammy in the league, like, how amazing is it to see our former teammates and, you know, friends on those journeys?
Well, I think it feels exactly what we feel every time we see each other, right? We're so proud of one another that we get to have been in this league and now get to work in this league. And I feel the same way about any of these players who are in the front office or on the staff. You mentioned those people, but we have Alex Singer, who is in Houston as the GM, Amy Rodriguez, the new head coach of Utah Royals FC. There are so many women that played in this league that are now working in this league. And I think that's one of the things that if you're a young player coming to watch games, like there's so many possibilities. If you want to be in this sport, like now NWSL in the 12th year, 11th full season, there's longevity to this, and there's possibilities that you could not just play on the field, but you could run a club. You could bring a club like the Bay FC, like former players brought to a new area. So I feel really proud, I think, of those moments.
I think it's important to have people like that have played the game and been in amongst it, the good, the bad, yeah, the ugly, I always say, because they can use their experiences. And we talk about goals. I mean, my game had obviously a lot of goals, Kansas City, Crumple and Thorns, but this game, North Carolina Courage, 5, Houston Dash, 1, like, unbelievable. I like Sean Nahas, and I think they're a team, North Carolina, that always kind of go under the radar a little bit, you know, because you know they've got a style of play. Before, you know, under the previous management, they used to win all the time when they became from the Flash to the Courage. Yep. What did you make of that game? 5-1.
I think they had a little extra oomph in them, too, because they were celebrating Sam Mewis's career and putting her in their Hall of Fame.
Can I just say, I love that Americans do that, because what I love about you guys is like, it's always like, this player's coming in for their 10,000th minute. And it's like, always celebrating these things that we don't even talk about in England.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, Sam Mewis was on the field, and like, it's just nice that she was getting that recognition as well.
Yeah, I think that is interesting. And I don't know that you guys don't do that, but it is, especially for our league. We were a part of a league that folded after 3 years. Like, there wasn't longevity in it. The previous league did the same thing. So to celebrate those moments is saying like, this league is here to stay. And I think that is a big reason. And I just want to say, like, after talking about my career and it ending, and my career is not anything like Sam Mewis's, but I really feel so happy for players when they get to... Sam was really sad that her career got ended, and she still is struggling with it. And I think you and I can both relate to that a lot. But the fact that she is also being celebrated for what she has done, I think, is really special and something that, I just feel like let's celebrate these women.
Yeah,
and
I think it's a lift nice
them
touch.
Up. So I think North Carolina, to go back to North Carolina game, I think they had a little extra behind them because they wanted to show out for Sam. But it doesn't surprise me. They know how they want to play. They've been under Sean Nahas now this is the start of the full like third year. And I think, they're my favorite team to watch last year.
Really?
Favorite team to watch last year. So because they wanted the ball, and they played really good football. I think that is only going to increase with some of the players they brought in. And to put 5 goals up in the first week against Houston is saying, hey, we're here and we came to win.
And Houston Dash are that type of team that they're kind of like, they're never going to be kind of bottom, but they're never going to, their fans, you know, I feel for them sometimes. Under new head coach now, losing that first game.
Brandon
they're kind
Alonso,
of that team that's like, a little bit kind of middle ground, but like where, you know what I mean? Like I feel for their fans a little bit.
I'm interested to see what Fran Alonso does in that team. But
he was head coach of Lewis before in England, you know, and then he was in Scotland.
Yeah. He's only really been there a month and a half, maybe 2 months. It takes time to get in your style of play and how you want to, and even maybe some players that he wants, because he probably didn't pick a lot of this roster. And so I think that they're going to be an evolution, and I hope that they will be better than they were last year.
Yeah, and then the next game, Utah Royals, Amy Rodriguez, you touched upon it. First game in charge, losing to the Chicago Red Stars 2-0. What did you make of that game?
I thought it was a really cool one to see Utah back in the league. A full sold-out crowd, 20,000 people there cheering, ready for that first Utah goal. But unfortunately, Utah didn't look like they had much punch in the attack. So I think it's going to take a little bit again for them to find their groove. I would say for Chicago, they're also with a new head coach, Lauren Donaldson. He coached the Jamaican women's national team. I've known
he
Lauren.
Seemed pretty cold within that game. Did you see they kept zooming in on him? He had like he had his tissue because he was probably feeling cold.
Yeah, but he's from Colorado. Like Lauren coached me when I was 9 years old. Like I've known him for a really long time.
What's he like as a coach?
He is very chill. He knows how he wants to play. Like he wants the ball, but he's gonna number one rely on defensive principles. Like he is just a really fun character to be around. So I could see the team, they needed to be better defensively. And I think that's a good start for Chicago this year. They gave up 50 goals last year, Leanne.
Wow.
50 goals.
Yeah,
so
I remember when I did that
game. And to have a shutout in the first game was incredible. And Alyssa Nair made maybe one of the best saves we're going to see all season late in the game. Because she wanted that shutout. She gave up too many goals last year. And so I think they're in a good place, but there wasn't too much in the game, I would say.
And two other games, you know, that took place last night, Seattle Reign versus the Washington Spirit, Angel City, Bay FC. What do you make of these teams this year? Obviously, Bay FC, new team coming into the league. We used to play against them, Bay Area, when we used to go there, when Ed Marter and everybody. What do you make of that? Them under new ownership and a player, Jem Beattie, coming from Arsenal, you know. A lot of people like didn't want her to leave Arsenal, but I think it's a good move for her.
I feel like that's how all of the people are with Arsenal players, right?
They, WSL fans are like that. You know, they don't want to lose them.
They love you guys so much, and I really appreciate that. I think Jen Beattie, she's in a perfect place because she has such good leadership, number one, first and foremost, and experience in women's football around the world. So to bring that into a brand new organization, everything they do this year is going to be firsts. You know, first goal, first game, first home game, first goal they give up, everything. So to have someone who can kind of keep everything even keel, I think is important with Jen Beattie. But I would say the Bay, the most excited thing overall is the players they brought in that are internationals. Like they went truly international.
Dana Castellanos from City.
Yeah, Rachel Kudananji, Asisa Oshuala. Like, hello, those three players are going to score goals in this league. Princess, like I think under Albertine Montoya, he gets a lot of his inspiration from the Spanish style.
He was the coach of LA Soul, wasn't he?
He was coach of FC Prague.
Okay, when we played against him, I got absolutely, my team really got battered by his team. Yep.
We played against him in
the final 4-0, My dad was more concerned about taking pictures with Marta than I think he was consoling me on the field. That's not even a joke.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, I know.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You touched upon it a little bit there, but what are your kind of players to look out for? If you could pick like 5 players within the league to look out for this year. I'll give you a few of mine.
Yeah, okay.
Don't steal them.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Sophia Smith. Mm-hmm. Oh, I absolutely love her. I mean, not just because she scored the other 2 goals, but I did 2 games with hers last year and she scored back-to-back hat-tricks, similar to Lauren James, what she does, you know, at Chelsea. But I think she's just a top player and I'm excited to see what Emma Hayes can do to kind of take her to another level as well. Another player, I mean, maybe I'm going to be really forward heavy, but I love Trinity Rodman.
Yeah.
I know she can't play in the first game because of that red card. But again, like, how amazing is it that Emma Hayes has this luxury of centre forwards on this US Women's National Team?
Yeah, I love those players. And I think they're 2 good ones to start off with. They're 2 US players too, which I think this league has gone so international that it's important to recognize that there are some really good players that are Americans playing in this league. This is a hard one. I am really excited. I think despite the first game, Adriana from the Brazilians in the league in general are
Davinha,
Adriana.
Caroline, obviously, she's out of the injury.
Yeah,
but
when she gets back, I mean, she was MVP last year for a reason because she was absolutely electric every time she was on the ball. So I think those are really good players to focus on. Jaden Shaw is probably, for me, over the last year and a half, she went from a player who, you know, when you're young and you come into a league and you're kind of green, right? You don't really know what to expect. So like, you have these natural instincts and you just go with your instincts before all this information like overloads you with where you need to be and how you need to play. Somehow Jaden Shaw keeps playing like that.
Do you think, I think Casey Stoney also has a factor. I think a coach like Casey at her age, I think not taking anything away from what she has to do, she has to implement them. But I think having the type of person like Casey is that can kind of give you that guidance, I think is really impactful as well.
Casey Stoney has been a great coach in this league. And I think with the team that she has, when we get to talk to her, because we get the opportunity to talk to her before game days, she is really adamant about how she treats those younger players and when she gives them exposure and how she gives them exposure. And so, yes, I think that having Stoney as her head coach, Jaden Shaw is continuing to flourish, and she is going to be the next biggest player, I think, in the world. Just the way that she sees the game is so interesting.
I mean, I don't disagree with that. I love your take on this because I also think, you know, we're quite heavy when it comes to center forwards, and obviously both very attacking. You always look to get the ball forward. As soon as you picked up in that defensive area, you were looking forward. I think Naomi Girma, I mean, everybody obviously knows about her already, but it's important to still give her those props that I think she deserves, because at the World Cup, she's probably one of the only players on the national team that kind of came out of any credit.
Yeah.
So what do you make of like the defenders within the league?
Yeah, I think Girma is a good one to start with. She's back-to-back defender of the year. She's just solid in everything that she does. And the reason she's getting better is because she has one of the best players to ever play that position coaching her. And when you talk to Casey Stoney about that, she's like, her footwork isn't good enough. She's pretty truthful about the things that she knows that Naomi Girma can still get better at, which if I was that player, I'd be like, oh, I'm so lucky that I get to learn from her. I think Emily Sams, who was formerly Emily Madrill, she plays for Orlando Pride. She's a good player to watch out for too, a center back. When you talk about players that are, gosh, it's so hard to like go over the whole.
Because there's so many good players within the league, really, and I just want to bring attention to those players, because I think sometimes now that everybody can watch all of the games in the NWSL when they're in Europe, because obviously we want to bring, you know, even doing this whole show about the NWSL, it's such a fantastic league, and it's so transitional, isn't it? When you're commentating on these games, it's like literally you cannot take a moment, because in England we build up a lot, and in Europe we build up, pass. Here it's like bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's different, isn't it? The transitional game.
I would say other players to watch out for with Gotham, Jenna Neiswanger, left back. She converted to left back last year from an attacking position. Really
national
good.
National team call up goal.
Yeah, yeah. North Carolina, they have a couple of Japanese internationals in Narumi and Manaka.
Yes.
And Narumi is... that's more of like an English style team, right? Like they want the ball, there's build up, there's less transition. And Narumi is their metronome. She keeps the pace for them. And then Manaka is just like crafty and fun to watch and so good at, in really tight spaces. So I would say them. I think for Houston, Maria Sanchez is one of my favorite attacking players to watch, because Leanne, watch it this year. Every time she gets the ball, her first touch is forward. She's like, I'm looking forward. I don't even care
what's
happening.
She signed like a multi-million-dollar contract, I think, as well.
Yeah,
the highest
really
paid players. And I want to just finish off by asking you about the money within the women's game now. You know, originally in England, we had Kira Walsh going to Barcelona for $400,000. Now these record-breaking fees coming to the league, $700,000. And for the men's game, people say, you know, that's hardly anything. But for us, can you imagine?
Yeah.
It's incredible. Like, what do you make of the fact that now the NWSL is attracting players from Europe? Because that's not something... there was a moment where we all came over, and then because the league folded, you know, now it's sustainable, everybody went back. So what do you make about all the transfers kind of globally?
I think it's really great. I really do. I think that those numbers, I have like this duality in my thinking, right? Gosh, these women are really good at what they do. They deserve to have this expense paid to bring their rights to whatever team it is. But at the other point of me is like, that feels like a lot of money. Like, but I feel that same way in the men's game too. I'm like, this is stupid money. Like, where is this money coming from? I think I struggle with that. And I think that some of the prices in general are just like overinflated. But the fact that
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. The fact that we can do that and we can buy players for a high price, I think is showing how much the women's game has grown. So I don't know. I feel like a couple of different ways, because it just, like, it's almost $1 million just to get the rights for someone. I think that's a lot. We don't even have to go into the men's game for me to think that those are a lot of money to transfer people's rights, but it's cool. It's cool to see these records happen and then be broken within months?
Yeah, no, I think it's great. And, you know, it's good that both of us have played within the league. We've seen it fold. Now we see it sustainable. And someone that knows the league all too well is Blatko Andonoski. I caught up with him live from the Kansas City Current training base.
Delighted to say I'm joined live in Kansas City with none other than Blatko Andonoski. Blatko, thank you for joining me, my friend. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you. And thank you for having me. I'm excited. Excited for tomorrow, for the big game, for the big day. And I mean, just looking forward to it.
And this has always felt like home for you. And obviously, we spoke at this fixture. Isn't that crazy to think about? You joined me live on air, kind of unexpectedly, when I asked you after the game last year. Did you ever imagine that you'd be back a year later, you know, managing this team and that type of stuff? Talk to me about how you're feeling about being back here.
I never thought of that. I never had a chance to think about this. I never had a chance to plan until recently, a few months ago. And now, ever since I started this conversation, started thinking about it to make it possible and to be with this team, to be with this city, with my city, it's amazing. I feel great and very thankful for this opportunity.
And everybody's talking about this. I don't know if you're aware, obviously in Kansas City, but in England, all over the world, you know, the only women-specific stadium in the whole of the world. Like, for me, I'm so excited. I never miss playing until I come back to America and I see these facilities. And how excited are you for this game tomorrow?
Super excited. Obviously, the stadium, it's surreal. It's something that we're looking forward to be on the field, to be at this stadium, to feel the energy from the fans. There's a big, huge buzz in the community, and it's something special and we all feel proud to be part of this historic moment.
And it's obviously creating history, but you still have to deliver as a players, as the coach, because obviously halfway through the season, it's no longer going to be the new stadium. You have to focus on the team, you know, and what they're doing. And how happy are you with where the team is at right now?
We're very happy. You know, we've talked a lot about the importance of delivering on the field, because this stadium, this is something great, but we need to manage it well and learn how to use this stadium in our advantage. This is our home. This is our place, and we have to do whatever it takes to protect it, guard it, and make it a place that everybody hates to play at.
And obviously, my favorite players to watch are like Dabinia, Lowe. How excited are you to be back with these types of players? Obviously, we'll talk about the national team later, but it's just exciting times to be back with those types of players every single day. Because obviously, when you're on the national team coach, you're not with them every single day you go to games. But how exciting is it for you to be back amongst the players on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, it's exciting. It's fun. I mean, as coaches, that's what we want to do. We want to be on the field. We want to work every day. We want to work with players. We want to talk soccer. We want to watch soccer, analyze soccer. And to do that with some of the best players in the world, the likes of the Binya and Bia, and obviously the players like Lowe and players that have been around for a long time, makes my job easier, but also more exciting.
And obviously, USA, best team in the world, I still think. Now, you were the national team coach. You know, what experiences did you learn about yourself and as a coach managing a team like that? Because I still think they are the best. I know people, you know, have different opinions. I'm English, obviously. I'm a little bit biased. But what did you make of that time as being the national team coach, and what did you learn from that?
You know, for 4 years that I was with the national team, first and foremost, I want to say that I had an incredible time. I was treated with utmost respect, and I'm very thankful to the Federation for all the support in this four years, but also very thankful for the players that were always respectful, kind, and nice to me. So it was incredible 4 years. We went through some hard times, tough times. We went through some challenging moments together. But coming out of it, you have actually no choice but to become better. The players, the environment pushes you to be the best version of yourself that you can be, and I'm just hoping that I can take some of those experience on a club level.
Yeah, and I'm delighted from my own personal perspective because I've known you for years now. I played against you when you were Kansas City's coach before, and you know I think you're one of the good guys that we need in amongst the game. And obviously this show is going out in England, and it'll be global. Emma Hayes, new national team coach. What do you make of that? And you know, what advice would you give to a coach like Emma taking on this role?
I mean, first, I know Emma personally. I think she's an incredible coach, and I have no doubt in my mind that she's going to do a great job. But I probably am the last person that should give her advice. I mean, looking at my last results, so I know that she doesn't need me or anything that that I have to say. I just want to wish her best of luck and best of luck to her and the team going forward.
Meanwhile, back in England, there were some huge games in the WSL this weekend. I caught up with our producer, Uma Gurav, to break down all the action.
What a way to return to WSL action. A record Stamford Bridge crowd were treated to a resounding 3-1 Chelsea victory over title rivals Arsenal. The Gunners dropped 6 points behind the leaders thanks to a Lauren James masterclass. Arsenal are all but out of title contention. It means that, like last year, the Conti Cup looks set to be their best chance of silverware. But Man City showed they will not let Chelsea get away without a fight. Their convincing 4-1 victory over Brighton brought them back level on points with the Blues and proved that this title race could well end up being decided on goal difference. Aston Villa held on for a much-needed win over Everton. It brought them up to 7th in the WSL table, and it is just goal difference that is keeping them out of the top half of the table now. Bristol City didn't make things easy for Man United, but the Red Devils ensured their only 2 shots on target did indeed find the net. United stay 4th in the table, but Liverpool remain hot on their heels thanks to another impressive performance. Their 3-1 win over West Ham means they are poised to pounce into the top four if Man United make any slip-ups. And in a tantalising preview of the FA Cup semi-finals, Tottenham edged a 1-0 victory over Leicester. The deciding goal came from a striker making a first start for Spurs. Matilda Vinberg found the net after just 2 minutes. But neither side could change the scoreline any further. It means we should be in for a thrilling contest when the two face each other again next month for a first ever place in the FA Cup final. So the title race goes on for the top three, but it is looking much more like a two-horse race now, because if there is anything we have learnt this weekend, it's this. If Arsenal want to get anything out of this season, they're going to have to pull their socks up.
Now, I'm delighted to say that our very own Uma Gurav is joining me now, live from England, to discuss all this weekend's action. But firstly, Uma, we have to start with that game on Friday night, Chelsea-Arsenal. Two of my former clubs, but my allegiances lie with Arsenal. I was there for longer. Talk me through your thoughts on this game. And obviously, Chelsea 3-0 up after 30 minutes. I mean, kind of a shock, really, I would say.
Yeah, a shock and a bit disappointing, I have to say, Leanne. I was expecting this to be one of the games of the season, and it actually just sort of fell really flat. And as you say, the fact that Arsenal conceded three so quickly, it just really left them with it all to do. And they didn't look up for it. I was saying, you know, they just... The quality that we've seen from Arsenal at times this season, even that Conti Cup semi-final against Aston Villa a few weeks ago, when Stina Black Senior got that crazy, like, really quick hat-trick, that's the Arsenal I was hoping that would turn up. And they just, none of them looked up for it. I mean, we saw some really uncharacteristic errors from people like Leah Williamson. And you have to ask questions about Jonas Eidevall there. I mean, should he have taken her off quickly? You could tell she was not up for it. But obviously, credit where credit's due. Lauren James, what a player. Oh my goodness me. She's a class above everyone else on the field, honestly.
She is. And what's scary about Lauren James, I say it all the time, I just don't even think she's even reached her maximal potential yet, which is crazy. But I want to dissect a little bit about this Arsenal team because, you know, Alessia Russo, they bought her this season, and I know Stina Blackstenius, you know, she scored goals, but I think to myself, similar to Serena Wiegmann, I still don't think Alessia Russo is nailed down that number nine spot with the national team. I'm not really sure what more she can do, because what I see from Alessia Russo, I see a player that realises she has to play every moment out of her skin to kind of keep her spot, which I'm quite surprised. And I've kind of been there myself when I've had moments where I felt like I was playing well. And it leads me to believe, you know, when you look at this team, this Arsenal team, Emily Fox, I think, should play. You know, Katie McCabe, I think she pushed higher up the field, sacrificed one of the defensive midfielders in Pullover or Leovolti. Both good players, but I don't think you can keep Alessia Russo on the bench. I'm not saying anyone has a divine right to start a game, but I'm like, why would you bring her in, you know, if you're not going to kind of give her the run of games, see how she goes. She scored, obviously, against Tottenham. Yes, it was a tap-in, but who cares? A goal's a goal.
You know, when you look at Alessia Russo and what she did at Man United, there, she was their starter. She was there every single game. And I think she felt comfortable. She never really looks comfortable for me in an Arsenal shirt. And that seems crazy because she was one of the biggest signings of, you know, the all time when she went over. And just, she doesn't look to me like Sam Kerr. If you put her in front of goal, she looks like she's going to score. But for some reason, Russo doesn't look like that now, not even in an England shirt.
I think that comes from management style, though. I really do. I'm not making excuses for Alessia, but I see exactly what you're seeing. You know, I see a player that doesn't feel confident, doesn't feel like the manager is backing her. Now, you can understand why, because she keeps getting benched. Even with England, that game against Scotland, you know, she got put on the bench and Serena Wiegmann preferred Lauren Hemp in that nine role. So it's an interesting time for Alessia Russo, but I think Arsenal are better with her on the field of play. And touching upon what you said about Leah Williamson, I mean, it's been a pretty rough time since she come back into the team, because I think since she's been back, they've lost every game she's been involved in, and it's not her fault. But and I get the feeling to bring, you know, arguably one of your best players back, but you cannot rush them back, because she's only, you know, she's one person. She has a big responsibility with England, the Lionesses, on and off the field. And I just think, you know, even in that game at the Emirates the other week, they brought her on in that game. You don't need to be bringing, you know, you don't need to make a centre-back change when you're 1-0 up. Let her kind of feel her way back into the team and then go from there, because there's a rush, I feel like, to get her back in. And I kind of get it, but I don't.
I think it comes back to this thing about ACLs as well. And it's not just about preventing ACLs, but once they happen, the way that clubs deal with the recuperation and recovery, it's not a coincidence that both Viviana Miedema and Leah Williamson came back and then suffered more minor injuries. Obviously, the pathway to returning, they're not being looked after enough there. I think the science behind recovery, it's, and mentally as well, like how we've seen it with Caterina Macario, obviously that she's come back and had a dream return, but it's not going to be like that for every player. And I think you're seeing that more with Miedema. She just really struggled on her return, and I don't think it's being looked into enough. And yeah, you're probably right. I think that comes down to management, doesn't it? Because yeah, maybe Emma Hayes, obviously we know she supported Macario throughout the recovery. Did Ida Val do the same thing? I'm not sure. So yeah, that's definitely something I think needs to be looked into further.
Yeah, and I mean, a little bit more lighthearted. I mean, the sock gate, I mean, what taught me through this moment, because I was obviously following from America and I'm like trying to watch and I'm thinking, what is going on? And I saw the Instagram account said, you know, London is blue. I'm like, what is going on? And I saw Arsenal, I was thinking, why are they in these socks? Like, obviously an error from the kit person.
Oh, Leanne, it's laughable, honestly. I mean, you have to laugh, and I feel for the kit person, because what an error to make in such a big stage. But yeah, honestly, it was just, and we only found, even Jonas Idevall said he only found out literally when the players were walking out. So for those people who maybe missed it, you know, Arsenal came out wearing white socks, the same colour as Chelsea's. And obviously you can't have that. So someone from the Arsenal team had to go to the Chelsea megastore to buy the whole team black socks, black Chelsea socks. So you could still see the logo. So they taped over the Chelsea logo with blue tape. But by the end of it, the tape was coming off and you could see the Chelsea logo on some of their socks. But I think that sort of sums up Arsenal's game for you a bit, doesn't it, really?
These things do happen and it is quite comical. But I think there's levels here, because obviously when I was at Arsenal, Vic Akers, he was the men's kit manager and he was our head coach. And there are these thorough little checks that obviously weren't checked beforehand, because the referees go in and they check the kit, all that type of boring stuff as a player that you find quite boring. I find it quite strange wearing the socks of the other team. I think psychologically, I don't know, it would make me feel funny, because when you look down at your boots, you're like, I've got socks on of the other team.
I know, yeah. I can't have helped them. That's what I'm thinking. I think having to change your socks and, yeah, wear your opposition socks is not good. And yeah, Chelsea were very very harsh, I think, in their Instagram post afterwards, weren't they?
It's all a bit, I like all that type of banter and that type of stuff though. But, you know, my next conversation I wanted to have, obviously Emma Hayes was asked about, you know, relationships within the game. Obviously it's more to do with the coaches within the game. And we've obviously had a massive story in the last couple of years in America, and there's been all these different, shouldn't even have to bring laws in place for these types of things, but they have to happen. Now, obviously, Emma Hayes has kind of retracted her comments, you know, about the kind of, it's inappropriate for player-to-player relationships, those types of things. There's been talk about Jess Carter obviously liking some tweets. What do you make of that? Because for me, I think, you know, it's a difficult one because obviously I've played the game, you know, I've had relationships within a team before, and I don't necessarily think it's caused many problems, but I do think when your coach comes out and says that, if Emma was my coach in that moment, I think I'd find that quite difficult because obviously the timing of it as well was, I think, one day before the game or 2 days before the game. And I think if that was me, I'd probably be going to have a conversation with her to just kind of figure it out. But I also think it's unfortunate because someone like Emma Hayes, similar to myself, we're always the ones who have to speak about these things. And I think often at times, Emma Hayes's opinion will carry more weight than someone else's. So I think it's important we speak up about these things. But I also think it's not a nice one for a player to have to hear when you have that as your coach. What do you think?
I think it was just the context that really surprised me because she was asked specifically about player-coach relationships. And obviously, that is something that is a big issue in the game at the moment. When you're talking about positions of power and coaches exploiting that with possibly really young players, that is a problem and something that does need to be addressed. And I think, you know, Carla Ward spoke about this, how there do need to be official rules added in to actually ban that kind of thing because, yeah, that shouldn't be happening. But the fact that Emma Hayes bought in without being asked basically about, you know, specifically player-to-player relationships. And Jess Carter's not the only player that she's managed who we know has been in a relationship with someone else in the team. Remember, like, Magda Eriksson and Pernilla Harder. She signed them knowing that they were, you know, together. And it's strange. And I think there is a conversation to be had about this, workplace relationships. Absolutely, you can have that conversation. And you're right to say, you know, it's down to people like you and Emma Hayes to have that conversation. But I think it was the context and not speaking to Jess Carter about that beforehand. Clearly, she didn't know. I mean, as you say, she liked some tweets calling Emma Hayes's comments beyond bonkers, I think, which obviously is not a good look before a game. Luckily, it didn't seem to affect them. And Emma Hayes did say after the game that she'd spoken to Jess Carter and they'd kind of cleared it up. But to hear that that's inappropriate, I don't know, especially when you look at relationships like Beth Mead and Viviana Miedema, which are so celebrated in the women's game, and I think are really important as well for the LGBTQ+ community. It's something that really defines the WSL. It surprised me. But yeah, I think obviously Emma Hayes was, she admitted that she thought she'd made a mistake with those comments.
Yeah, and we're all human. I mean, I know Emma Hayes really well. She's a personal friend of mine and I love her. And I think she's a top coach. And I think, you know, these are lessons learned because trust me, when she's going to take over USA, it's going to be, you know, more eyes are going to be on her even more than they were at Chelsea. Last game I want to talk about, Tottenham versus Leicester, just quickly. 1-0, you know, they're going to play each other in the FA Cup. What did you make of that game? Early goal from Tottenham. And I think it's great that Leicester are in the semi-final of the FA Cup.
Oh, it's so exciting. I'm so excited for that game, Leanne. Like, to see Tottenham or Leicester, whichever one of them makes it through to the FA Cup final, it's going to be amazing. And I really hope they get a good crowd out, it ends up being. But so good to see them meet in the WSL as a sort of preview. It's going to be really close, actually, way closer than I thought it was going to be. I had Tottenham pegged as kind of the sure favourites. I thought, you know, we'll probably get a couple of goals from Martha Thomas. Beth England might, you know, rack up a few as well. But actually, yeah, it ended up being Matilda Vinberg, who we haven't really seen get off the mark yet. And Leicester defensively then kind of really shut them down. And same for Spurs, I think, with Leicester. You know, we saw them really pushing to get through. But yeah, it's going to be close. And I think we could end up seeing, you know, it go down to the wire again, maybe into extra time, penalties. We know Becky Spencer was the penalty hero a few weeks ago. Obviously, she's a great friend of the show, so maybe she'll be called upon, but really excited for that. And great to hear that it's going to be at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which actually, you know, looking at Spurs women, they've only played at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium once this season, but that was their game against Arsenal, and they made history then. So perfect place to do it again.
That's all for this week. Thank you so much for listening. This weekend, TalkSport is bringing you live coverage of two huge derbies in the WSL. Tune in to TalkSport 2 to hear Manchester City face Manchester United and Everton take on Liverpool. We'll be back next week where I'll round up all the action and bring you the latest from USA.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.